They do. Everybody thinks, oh, so you're going to tell my story. I want you to tell my, and it's actually the exact opposite of that. So
Nice.
when
So
we
what
talk
is it?
about storytelling, we're really talking about inviting your customer into a story about them. So I'll say that again. It's really the stories about your customer. So we position your brand as the guide and let your customers win, let your customers become the hero of the story. So you have to understand your customer first. You have to learn about your target audience. What do they want? What are the challenges they're having? What are the problems they're facing that's making them not feel good about whatever your business does, right? And then being able to communicate in a way that says, look, when you work with me, I'm going to solve your problem because I get it.
Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I am super glad that you're here with us today because I am here with my most amazing guest, Kim Jara. And Kim Jara, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So give us a 5,000-foot view of who you are and what you love to do.
So I love to do marketing and branding. So most people struggle with creating marketing that works. And so I specialize in the power of storytelling to help you create websites and sales funnels and automation and social media and all the fun things that go with building a brand.
Awesome. And I am going to pick your brain today because it's one of my favorite topics too. So awesome. But before we get into that, let's back up the bus a bit. And how did you get into marketing per se?
So my journey just started. I worked in corporate America for 23 years and realized that I wanted to start something of my own. And what I saw was a real big gap in the market for actual marketing that worked. Most people don't get results, right? They get frustrated. They waste time and money. And I realized that a lot of that had to do with storytelling and they weren't kind of leveraging the power of storytelling. So that's when I started my business. And now I own Evolve Global Marketing.
Very cool. So, I mean, that sounds like an anomaly to me to just go, hey, you guys are telling stories. It's like, God, I wish somebody would have looked at my business and went, hey, you're sucking at this. Come do this.
Well, so, I didn't look at like anyone, but like, you know, when you talk to people all the time, I was in sales and marketing. When you talk to people and they say, yeah, we hired someone, it didn't quite do anything, or here's where we were, and, you know, we didn't really love it. And I just started to realize, you know, how complicated they make the messaging that they're doing. And there's a point of creativity that you really do want to have that can be capturing and engaging. But there's also a point of clarity that needs to happen, because if you're confusing people, then they're not going to buy because they don't understand what you do.
Exactly. So where did you find that people spent the most amount of money and got the least results? Where is their biggest frustration?
I think a lot of times it's building a website that people get frustrated. They think a website is their brand. They think a website's the answer to all their prayers. I always say we're not Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. So there's so much that goes into creating a website that I call one that's engaging and will actually capture leads. And that's what your website should do. It should be driving sales and leads to your business.
Well, and I also think a lot of people think that their front-facing website will do that, as opposed to landing pages and, you know, pages that they're actually promoting. But even then, there's a whole lot of kind of error and misconception there. What do you see as one of the biggest problems with the whole concept?
You know, for me, it really comes down to you're not talking to people the right way. So it's the messaging and the words that matter. Of course we do beautiful design. Design is just as important. I feel like if they were, you know, they'd be like, just like that. And I think the words can carry. So you can't have a bad design. But if you had the right words and the design was, you'd still get sales, right? But if you have a really beautiful design and it's just amazing and dynamic, and then people don't understand what you do and how you're going to help them, you're not going to get sales. So I think that it tips over to the messaging, the words, how you're communicating matters very, very much for businesses.
Okay. So let's delve into that, because I know a lot of people get really confused when you say storytelling and they think, okay, once upon a time when I was born.
Yes, that's so true. They do. Everybody thinks, oh, so you're going to tell my story. I want you to tell my, and it's actually the exact opposite of that.
Nice.
So when we talk about storytelling, we're really talking about inviting your customer into a story about them. So I'll say that again. It's really the stories about your customer. So we position your brand as the guide and let your customers win. Let your customers become the hero of the story. So you have to understand your customer first. You have to learn about your target audience. What do they want? What are the challenges they're having? What are the problems they're facing that's making them not feel good about whatever your business does, right? And then being able to communicate in a way that says, look, when you work with me, I'm going to solve your problem because I get it. And your life or business is going to be better because of it. And here's how. That's a completely different conversation than what most websites do. Here's who I am. Here's how great I am. Here's what I do. Like, here's why you should buy from me. Nobody wants to buy that because they don't need to be told. They want to have a problem solved, really.
Right. So how much research does somebody have? I was going to say before they work with you, but I'm sure it's going to be after as they're working with you, they're going to discover how much they get to do. But like, what are they bringing to the table before they meet you? And then once you've worked with them, then what, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So I think, you know, in order to work with like my company, you would want to have an idea and a foundation of what you do and what you're about. Now, again, what a lot of people struggle with is they do a lot of different things. So they'll say, I have a million different things I do. And they get, you know, they don't know how to compile it into one main clear message. But I think you don't have to have a whole lot. You just have to come willing to dive in and learn. But you do have to know like what you want to do, like what is your business about and what do you want to do? So I've worked with startups, up to $500 million companies and everything in between. But I don't, you know, I say like, you want to be a business owner. You want to be a professional. You want to, you know, have something going that you're saying, okay, what I'm doing right now isn't working.
Mm-hmm. So is there a difference, do you find, between say retail and services or B2B versus B2C?
Yeah. So you have to know who your audience is. That's number one. That happens all the time. We have a couple of clients right now that came to us and they're basically talking B2C when their customer is another business. So they should be talking B2B. And that's normal. That happens because you don't realize, you just think you're educating people about your products and services, but you're not. There is a difference between if you're selling a product versus selling a service. I like to think of services as you should be selling a product in your service. You know, services are becoming more and more of a commodity nowadays, which is not a good thing. So we have to figure out how to uniquely position our services differently. But when you comes to products, you know, the messaging is less, it still tells a story. It still follows a normal process, but you use more your headers and subheaders to tell that story. And then a lot of imagery, right? Cause it's your products. So you're posting and, on social, or you're doing your website with your actual products. But your headers and subheaders will communicate to your target audience with the right message strategy, will get them to engage because they'll go, ooh, I do need that. Or I do want that. You know, if you're a luxury brand, you're going to talk very differently than, you know, if you're an everyday, like buy this over and over again subscription.
Mm-hmm. So give us some examples of what storytelling looks like versus salesy.
When you say salesy, what do you mean?
Like, or versus anything else? Like, what are the typical kind of how it should be versus what most people are doing when they're putting up their websites?
Yeah. So what you'll typically see is you'll see a lot of, we do this, we're about this, here's our products, here's why we're great, here, you should buy from us. So they do a lot of we's and I's maybe going down their messaging. And so they're talking a lot about themselves. And a flip to that would be, here's how you can take advantage of our, you know, 15 years of experience. You know, we understand that you're facing this. We get it. Here's how your life's going to look when you work with us. So you literally use messaging that communicates a storyline all the way down.
Nice.
And really, honestly, a lot of it too is clarity. So what we see a lot in websites is just jargon. And even in social media, like there's still a lot of industry acronyms, jargon, confusing language, big words that your average customer maybe doesn't understand. Even if you're selling B2B, I work with tech companies and they're very complicated. And yet at the same time, when you see what they put out there, they're using such big words that, you know, an average CIO or CFO doesn't understand all that. They just need to know if they should buy the dang product, right? Like they don't know the technical jargon that their IT side of the business does. And so we have to figure out who's buying and how are you communicating to them that's in a way that's going to make them want to buy it.
Nice. So when you're talking B2B, mm-hmm. I'm assuming like people want to sell to the CEO, but mm-hmm. I'm going on the gross assumption that rarely does a CEO actually do their own research and try and find products and services. How do you communicate to the staff that's doing the research as opposed to the CEO?
So again, it's just, you're still talking to them as if you're solving that business challenge. And that's what really matters. So what are the biggest frustrations that are getting in the way of them getting what they want? Mm-hmm. And then you talk about it in that form. And I think anyone who is at a level that's probably analyzing a business, and again, you're talking very high level, like there's so many ranges of levels of business from, you know, startups, mom and pops to, you know, even small businesses can go up to in the millions. And even then, you know, the actual CEO might be part of looking at the website. Now, when you start to get into midsize and large enterprise businesses, of course, they're not doing that. But then you are looking at your target audience. So is it IT? Is it, you know, it's usually not like an executive assistant that's like looking at that stuff. It's like a director, or, you know, you might be having to sell to marketing when really IT is going to use it, et cetera. So you have to kind of know your audience. And that's step one, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So give us an example of a Cinderella story of one of your clients. Somebody that came to you that was having issues, and after working with you, it was like the clouds parted and the sun shone down.
They saw rainbows and butterflies.
Exactly. Or some variation thereof.
Oh my gosh. You know, there's so many that I love to talk about, but I would say probably a recent one that just happened like in the last month was that I'll just go with that B2B, B2C example. They came to us and they were, we always start with clarifying your message and developing your brand, because branding and creating a unique position in the market and how you're going to talk about it and then developing that storylines first. Well, when we were going through that process, we realized really quickly that all the pre-work they did, everything they had sent to us, I, in the middle of the meeting, go, you know, I think we're talking to the wrong audience. And here's what I think we need to be saying. And here's how you need to niche down to own a market that nobody's owning right now in your industry. And it was like, yes, if rainbows and butterflies could have been coming, they were like, oh my gosh, they were so excited because they never realized, A, they should be owning a market. You know, they did the typical, a lot of businesses do this. I have to go broad. I got to talk to everybody because I'm going to leave somebody out, and, you know, anybody can use my product or service. And although that's true, and those, a lot of people will find you, if you're not talking to a specific niche and audience, then you're really talking to nobody. I say when you market to everybody, you market to no one. So with them, we niched them down and they could own a market that will then get them other business. We could talk very specifically about that. And we moved it from B2C to B2B. And yeah, now we're finishing up their website and it's getting launched in the next week. And they're very excited. So
Nice. And is it like there is a ton of clients that we work with that go, well, yeah, but I do this. And I go, well, yeah, I get it. So for example, you could be an electrical company, and I get it. You're an electrician, but there's the home, there's commercial, there's, you know, the different aspects of it. It's, you know, upgrades, it's the high end versus mid ground. And they go, yeah, we do all of that. And I get that.
And we get it.
And I go, okay, so if you could only have one, who would you have? Because if somebody likes them, they may go, hey, I get that this is where the, you know, your, all your marketing goes to, would you consider doing something for us? And you get those exceptions. Is it so important that they're building that kind of the front door look, if you will, for a specific audience, in your opinion? Or is it like, how do they niche down? How do they choose who that one is?
I know what you're saying, and that's a great question. So what you're talking about are product lines within a business.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have an overarching brand story. What are you about? Why are people choosing your company over someone else? Then when you get into those little product buckets that says we do commercial, they click that and they go to that service page, and then you story tell that page. So we brand and tell a different story. Now, commercial, you might have a little bit of a different audience. You're talking to potentially distributors and other people, right? So you understand who that audience is and you tell a story to them. But your main page is an overarching theme. What are you about? How do you do business different from everybody else? Why would they choose you over someone else? And what problem are you solving for the market in general? And then you can branch out in the different services. So no, not every homepage is going to be so niche down. You can't do that. I mean, you're about a certain type of business and a certain type of industry, but you can talk about it different. You mm-hmm. can uniquely position yourself in a way that no one else is using the method you're using or the style you're using or the process you're using. And we need to figure out what that is and then define it differently.
Got it. Awesome. So give us some examples of some key components of story that people should have in their work.
Yeah. So when you think of telling a story from a marketing perspective, you're going to start with understanding your customer. So in any good storyline, right, who is the customer and what do they want? Think of a movie you watched recently. And, you know, Jason Bourne from Bourne Identity comes on the screen and you know he's the hero of the story and you know that he doesn't know who he is, right? So that's your customer and what they want. Immediately they come into a problem. We got to define what that problem is in marketing. So that problem, you know, again, doesn't know who he is, trying to figure that out, doesn't know where he is. So in storytelling and marketing, there's problem and then it gets resolved. Problem gets resolved or it doesn't get resolved, right? They don't take action. Then what happens? They need a guide in any good story. So you will see, you know, Yoda being a great guide. There's, you know, Haymitch from Hunger Games is a great guide. So you have to meet a guide somewhere along the way who's going to provide the answers and a plan to you. And that happens in every great movie. So in marketing, right, your company's the guide. You're positioning your brand that way. And then you're going to help them achieve success by giving them a plan and telling them, here's what you need to do to succeed. People, you have to call them to take action. That's another part of the story framework. And then finally, the story always ends in success or failure. So when you're thinking of your website, you want to think in those components, right? What do I do? What is the problem? What does success look like? You know, who am I or my company, and how can we support you? And then you want to give them a plan and then call them to take action.
Awesome. I love it. Let's relay it back to the electrician. So if an electrician, their general practice, how do they differentiate them? How do they make the homeowner the hero of that story?
So you have to understand first, what is the biggest problem that a homeowner faces and what type of homeowner? Again, are these luxury? Are you for the luxury market or are you for the everyday homeowner? And those are going to be different things, right? The luxury market, you're going to save them time. You're going to get in and out quickly. You're going to make it easy on them, right? They don't have time for that stuff. So you're going to communicate in that form and fashion to them and tell them how great it's going to be. For an everyday homeowner, it might be something different. Like, you know, you're going to get it done on time and on budget, you know? And again, that's very general, because when we work with someone, again, you're going to find a unique way to talk about it for that audience that makes you sound different from everybody else. And that's what you're ultimately going for. But at a very high level, that's what you want to do, is you want to understand your market in that way and then develop the storyline around that.
Awesome. So who would you say that your ideal client is? Who do you love to serve and support?
So for me, I love service-based businesses. So I, you know, focus on professional service-based businesses that are, you know, again, I think service-based businesses are kind of becoming a commodity nowadays. And I really want to help them leverage a unique position to where they have industry influence beyond what their counterparts are doing and other people in their area. We're so used to in service, right? we network locally, we think local, we think we're doing a service just around us, but with online, it's gone national now. So those are my businesses that I absolutely love to transform and to help them rethink how they're marketing and how they're going to market, to help them create a new brand and a new story.
Awesome. So what are the stumbling blocks that somebody might be having right now? And they're thinking, oh my God, Kamjara, I need you so badly.
So if their marketing's not working and they're wasting money, that's number one. If they're feeling like they want to elevate their business, they want to gain more influence in the market, and they want to be known, and they don't know what that brand is, then they should reach out. I mean, we do everything from graphic design to web development to sales funnels. I mean, all of it, right? But there's something about the overall plan and structure of how you're gonna position that I think is really cool. And then storytelling, that's our specialty. We don't work with anyone that doesn't leverage the power of story in their marketing. And there are a lot of people that do. I mean, they just, you know, do the here's who we are, here's how great we are, here's our services. Like, but we don't. We really try and message differently. And so if you're looking for that, we're a fit.
Very cool. So I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How did they start their journey with you?
Oh, great. Just visit my website. It's evolveglobalmarketing.com. And you can book a call with me if you're actually looking for marketing and you're ready to get started. There's a button on there, but you can learn. I mean, we have 70 plus blogs and, you know, over probably 80 projects on there that you can see what we've done, and testimonials and all that fun stuff. So there's a lot of free resources on there that can teach you things and help you. Visit our website. That's the best way to get in touch.
I love it. So I have to ask, at what point in life did you know that you were a special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
I always have had that in me. I think in corporate America, I probably wasn't, like, I was always really, really successful, but I wasn't a fit politically because I always thought out of the box, right? Like, you have, you know, those people out there that you're like, I never quite fit in the mold and follow the line. And I always loved succeeding. And, you know, when you're tired of making money for other people, you become an entrepreneur and you start doing it for yourself. So in a very short time, we built up a 7-figure agency and, you know, get to help a lot of amazing clients.
Nice. I love it. Love it. Love it. Awesome. You have been amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Wow, that was awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
I would say just know you can do it. If you're thinking about it, there's lots of resources out there. You can do it yourself. I'm happy to chat, but overall, just know that marketing can work. It really can. Branding is really awesome if you find the right team, and just believe in yourself that you can do it.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show and join our Facebook group, Business Ownership Secrets to Scaling. We love helping you grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.